Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. Oh man, and that name fucking gets. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But we are your hosts. I am Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
And I am Owen Thompson, and it's a little ironic, actually. You can hear the tone in Lisa Ann's voice. She's got a little edge to her today,
Please.
and I don't blame her. And it's ironic since our topic today is actually such a sweet-natured one. In fact, we're doing kind-hearted Shakespeare about some of the nicer characters in Shakespeare, but nice characters are not what we either of us encountered today,
That's
dear
right.
listeners.
And before we get into kind-hearted Shakespeare, I need to bitch about this, right? Because we tried to sign up for an account with a company called Constant Contact, which like helps sends emails so that if you guys give us your email addresses, we can drop you emails when a new episode drops or when we have some interesting content that we're uploading to our YouTube, et cetera, all of that kind of stuff, right? We just want to connect with our audience. We love you guys. We tried to sign up for an account three motherfucking times.
And our freedom of speech is being infringed, y'all,
That's right,
because
because they lied to us first and they just said, oh, your IP address does not have a good reputation. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And they were like, well, we can't tell you exactly, but your IP address doesn't have a good reputation.
when you called, did you get Mickey Mouse as a
Yes, I
customer?
did. I did.
I mean, that's amazing.
So they deactivated our account the first time. I called them up. I spoke to a human being. He put together another account for us. I went in there. I spent an hour and a half uploading email addresses. We go to use it today. Guess what? It's fucking deactivated. So I call. I'm on the phone with them for an hour. They won't give me any information. I call my internet provider. They're like, there's nothing wrong with your IP address. So I pass this information on to Owen, and Owen's like, well, maybe I'll try calling them.
Because
So
I enjoy bitching on the phone.
he does, and they say
And
to him, or
they
he
lied
gets them to admit.
to me for a while. Well, first of all, they didn't know, and you have to press them, and they go back and forth, and they put you on hold and all of the fun stuff. And they actually play some Mozart when you're on hold, which you would think would be nice, but unfortunately, first of all, it's all like distorted, and second of all, it's the same fucking thing over and over again, so it's quite irritating. And then eventually they got back to me with a bunch of stuff that didn't make sense. And I finally said, well, look, if you're going to shut us down, then at least you need to tell us why. Give us a valid reason. And finally, the guy got back to me and he said, in fact, that it was because of our email address, which, as you know, especially Brian Linden knows, our email address is
The broadcast, you dick, at Shakespeare. At
At
Shakespeare.com.
gmail.com. So because it had the word dick in it, that's considered inappropriate and they shut us down.
Okay, so I went ahead and set up a new email address, went ahead and set up another account, but somehow they connected it with our old accounts. And I literally set up the account 15 minutes ago and they shut us down 5 minutes later. What the actual fuck? Do these people not want our money, Owen?
I guess they don't. I guess what they really want to do is infringe our cherished First Amendment rights.
They do want to infringe our cherished First Amendment's rights. So if any of our listeners out there, oh, and by the way, if any of our listeners remember, we also had our bank account shut down twice because
Yeah, because
we
they
have
thought
an
we were
ATM.
porn filmmakers. What happened to a sense of humor? What happened to this?
No idea. But if any of our listeners out there know anybody at Constant Contact, will you call them up and tell them they're ass wipes? Oh my God. And
Oh,
we want
well.
to use their service. I am going to call them yet again when we are done recording this episode.
And
Unfucking-believable.
it's Don's birthday.
And it's Don's birthday. Happy birthday, Don.
Happy birthday, Don. Sorry that these shitty things happen on your birthday, but
He
what can
says
you do?
thank you from downstairs with the puppins.
Well, that's good.
Yes, I thought so.
All right. So enough of our belly aching, legitimate as it might be. So what are we here to talk about today, Lisa Ann?
Those people, because we've talked about assholes and bitches and
Well, and kings and queens
and
and
all of that kind of hi, puppers. Oh, my puppy just came to say hi. I have to say hi to the puppers. Happy birthday, Don. Say hi to our listeners.
hi, listeners.
We're so
Anyway,
professional.
we are, well, it is what it is. But so we've talked about like the shitty people in Shakespeare kind of over and over again in all different ways.
In
So
different ways.
that's right. So
Criminal
we,
Shakespeare, blah blah blah. So we started,
douchebags, fuck
yeah,
ups, and
we started thinking about, well, but there are some really sweet and genuinely nice people in Shakespeare.
yes,
And who
and
the hell are they?
that's right. And we thought that those people deserved an episode as well.
Even though it is true, drama being what it is, that nice guys kind of do finish last in a way.
they kind of do. But
In terms of dramatic impact, it's easier to write a play about a murderous king than it is to write a play about, just some guy who goes around being nice to people.
yes, and like the evil characters are much more interesting. But
That's what I'm saying.
that being said, it's only fair that we give credence to those characters that are nice.
Yes.
So
So,
who's your first one? Oh.
well, I was going to phrase it this way to you. Do you have someone in the canon that you think is the nicest person in the canon? Because I do. I mean, there's a bunch of them, obviously.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't given that specific question any thought because I was on the phone with Constant Contact for most of the day.
Are
So,
you saying that you were on the phone with Constant Contact?
what they're going to be called from now on, Constant Contact. But so why don't you start, Owen, and I'll tell you
Okay.
whether or not I agree.
So I think hands down the single nicest. Now again, before I even say, I want to define this a little bit. We're not talking about necessarily the most virtuous people in the canon, but people who are genuinely kind-hearted. That's why we're
Yes.
calling this kind-hearted Shakespeare. So for instance, somebody that would make the list of most virtuous characters, but definitely does not make this list, is, say, Isabella from Measure for
That's
Measure.
exactly who I was thinking when you said that.
Because
Yes,
Isabella.
virtuous, yes, but kind-hearted, no.
No, no,
But
no, 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 no.
she'll let her brother die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously very complicated, but certainly her first impulse is although she does think about it, but her first impulse is not, oh my God, my brother's going to die. I have to do everything to save him.
Yes, correct.
And she obviously has legitimate beef and it's not her fault and blah, 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 but she's not what I would call a sweetheart.
No, I totally agree with you.
So this is kind of what that is. And so I think the nicest person in all of Shakespeare's plays is Florizel from The Winter's Tale.
Florizel is a wonderful character from The Winter's Tale. I agree with you, but I also think that, I think there are a lot of nice people in Winter's Tale. I think that Camillo, is nice. He ends up because he can't kill Polixenes. The old shepherd finds Perdita on the ground and
Perdita
quotes,
herself.
that's right, Perdita herself, but takes it up for pity, the baby. So,
But the
and I mean,
reason
I think Hermione is a kind character, and
for
she's
Hermione,
like,
and even
yes.
Paulina is certainly a positive character, even though she's a fierce badass.
She's a
But
snarky bitch, though, what she needs
well,
to be.
she's got, well, come on, wouldn't you be?
Oh, totally.
What a role for you, P.S.
Yes.
But Florizel is just he's just such a sweet guy,
He
and
is.
he loves Perdita so much.
I agree.
And not only is he willing to give up everything for her, but he does.
Yes, he
Like
does.
he like the re I mean, Florizel has a lot to lose. He's a fucking prince. He's going to be king. He's willing to throw it all away, and he does throw it away for he his money is where his mouth is.
Yeah, even
And
though his dad acts like an asswipe.
well,
And
his yes, his.
you'd think that Polixenes would have a better, would be a better person after finding out that Camillo didn't kill him.
Well, and with the negative example of Leontes before him, you would think also.
Exactly.
But and you know, so yes, obviously not. But what I'm saying is, Florizel, like, talks the talk, And then he walks the walk of niceness.
Yeah, yeah.
And his heart is gold. I mean, through and through. And this, I'm not trying to say that Camillo isn't a great guy. I'm not trying to say that Perdita is sweet as pie. I'm just saying that Florizel is put to the test, and he passes it with flying colors.
Well, you know, that actually makes me think about another one that was on my list was Ferdinand.
Totally. In The Tempest?
A same kind of deal. A totally sweet guy is willing to give up whatever he has to give up to be with the woman that he loves. He agrees to go through all the trials and tribulations. But of course, he thinks everybody's dead and he's stuck on this island. So,
but this is why, this is why I don't, I mean, nothing against Ferdinand, who I think is a perfectly lovely kid. First of all, magic is involved, which kind of changes everything in that play. But second of all, and the, you know, the trials, he carries some logs for about a half an hour.
Yeah, but he does it.
But my point is this. He is not, I mean, he's, bad shit happens to him. He's in a shipwreck. He thinks he's lost his family, blah, blah, blah. But his reaction is not, I'm going to throw away my anything. I'm stuck on this island. We never really get to, obviously he gets off. We don't hear if he has what he would do about that if it weren't for Prospero, but he isn't tested in the same way that Florizel is.
That's true.
There's no question of him throwing away his birthright.
Well, because he doesn't think he has it anymore. Cause he thinks he's been,
well, no, he said, he actually says I'm paraphrasing, but when he meets Prospero, he says, I am myself Naples or something. Would that it were not so. Yeah. So he declares himself as king in a really sweet way, because he obviously is devastated that his father is supposedly dead.
Of course.
I'm just saying that Florizel goes all the way to running off with Perdita and putting himself in physical peril.
Yeah.
You know? So
I agree with you. I think it's really interesting, isn't it? When you look at, now that we're talking about it, when you look at Winter's Tale, that there are such lovely, kind-hearted characters and such total assholes at the same time. But I guess that's what makes drama, right?
Hashtag drama 101.
Yeah.
You know, the fool is kind of a nice guy. The fool, you know, the shepherd, the clown, I guess he's called.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking,
but Ferdinand definitely made my list of super nice guys.
Yeah. I was thinking, I actually had a lot of women on here. I thought of both Rosalind and Viola. Rosalind I just like as a character more, but I mean, you know, what they both of them don't do anything to hurt anybody else, and they are absolutely, like, you know, I mean, Viola is very considerate of Olivia's feelings. You know, when Olivia falls in love with her, she tries to tell her, look, you know, this is not going to happen, man.
Yeah, I thought of them. I thought of both of those characters too, and I don't know if they make my list, and I'll tell you why. It's not that they're not kind-hearted. Sure, you know, they are. But, you know, I mean, but it's not what I think of first, certainly when I think of Rosalind. You know, I mean, Rosalind, I think of first as just being so fucking intelligent.
Yeah.
And brave and badass and all good things. I mean, Rosalind is awesome. Rosalind is in many ways more awesome than Viola because she has better.
Yes.
Because she has better taste and is much smarter.
Much smarter.
You know, but she does kind of play around with people's feelings a little bit.
Not in a negative way. I mean, she's in love with Orlando, and I mean, what she's doing is to make sure that he really has genuine feelings for her. I think that's totally human.
But I'm not saying that Phoebe doesn't deserve it, but she does fuck
Phoebe
around.
Totally
with
fucking deserves.
She does. She is a bitch. But
she is a bitch.
But Rosalind does kind of fuck with her a little bit. Now, Silvius is a really nice guy.
He's a really nice guy.
Dumb as a bucket of hair.
Oh my God, no kidding.
But super sweet.
You know who I thought of, you know, and I don't know why this occurred to me, but it came to me and I thought, well, yeah, is Imogen in Cymbeline, right? Because, you know, I mean, like, when, you know, like the most distressing part of that thing, you know, is when, you know, she hears about her husband's infidelity. And, you know, the one thing she says is, you know, my lord, I fear, has forgot Britain, right? She pardons, you know, Iacomo, you know, all of that kind of stuff. She's, you know, she's virtuous, but, you know, she's also just a really nice person.
I agree. I would tend to put in it. Are we calling her Imogen or Inogen?
Well, Imogen, just because that's what most people call her.
I know. Anyway, well, whatever you want to call her, I kind of think of her as more kind-hearted than either Rosalind or Viola.
Yeah.
These are just, you know, gradations, because Rosalind and Viola are obviously very nice people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who, I mean, in those plays.
Desdemona's a nice person.
Well, before we leave, Twelfth Night and As You Like It, Celia is a lovely person.
Yeah, Celia's a, she can be a snarky little bitch.
She can be snarky, but that doesn't mean she isn't kind-hearted.
She is kind. And I think, you know, Duke Sr. is lovely.
A little irresponsible, but lovely.
Yeah, and realistically, you know, Orlando's not a bad guy either.
Oh, no, I think Orlando definitely needs to make this list. I think, yes, Orlando is a total sweetheart.
He is a sweetheart. And he, you know, again, you know, he shit on. So yes, the fact that he handles it with aplomb is impressive.
I don't think that he is the brightest flame on the menorah, but he is... definitely a nice, like, you know, you compare him again. This is why
there's a lot of nice people.
Viola,
like,
see,
on the ends is nice, you know.
I know bad taste in a significant other does not mean that you're not kind-hearted, but Viola's a little crazy to be in love with Orsino. So
yeah, but you know what, like, you, yes, but I think so much of that has to do with who is playing Orsino. I mean, I think in our production, Viola was crazy.
But in any production, and I mean, Orsino, I think, is like a borderline unplayable part, because
the hard part.
He's so, I mean, yes, but because here's the thing. If you cast a very charismatic, preferably very good-looking actor as Orsino, then it helps the audience get it, why this young woman would fall for him. But if you parse that and it's like, oh, Viola fell in love with this hot guy who's got, you know, wattage for days, and that's why she fell in love with him.
But I don't think that's
why she wants to jump his bones, but why she falls in love. He's a total fucking lunatic asshole. I don't care.
I know you hate Orsino.
I don't care what he looks like.
Viola has a good heart, though.
She does have a good heart, no question. Heart. No, listen, I mean, well, I was going to say Mariah has a good heart, although it's kind of, she's in on the mean stuff that happens to Malvolio.
Yeah, so. She's a little snarky. I love her, though.
I mean, Olivia doesn't have a bad heart.
No, she's bitter, you know.
Well, she's sad. She's sad.
Yes, of course.
She's in fucking mourning, that's all. And she's also crazy.
She's really crazy.
But, you know, okay, but in terms of just thinking about other people that immediately occurred to me as being just like salt of the earth, sweet, good, reliable people, Horatio has got to be right up there.
Right at the top of my list.
And Hamlet has that lovely speech about it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, which tells you everything you need to know about Horatio.
Well, the friends are good, right? Like Horatio and Benvolio is on my list.
Benvolio is another one.
Another sweetheart.
Although Mercutio is a friend too. And while Mercutio is one of my favorite characters in all of Shakespeare,
he's not a sweetheart.
Sweetheart is not where I would begin with that crazy motherfucker. But Benvolio is reliable, smart, good hearted. So I think he definitely makes top 10.
Agreed. Oh, popping back to Tempest for a minute, I wanted to mention Gonzalo.
Yes. Gonzalo
he's the one that makes sure they don't die when they get sent away. So,
well, and think about this. Gonzalo, I mean, think about what a risk that was.
Huge.
At his own personal peril. This is always actually been a question for me. And even though I've directed that play, I've never gotten to the bottom of it. Like, why did Antonio not have Gonzalo killed? Does he not know what he did?
That's what I think. I think that Antonio doesn't
it has
know
to
what
be,
Gonzalo
right?
does.
I mean,
Yes.
It has to be that Gonzalo has just been hiding that all these years.
That's always been my
because Antonio is a straight up murderer. So
straight up murderer. Yeah.
So, you know, why I would, if I were Antonio, I would not I would let that slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gonzalo is also cunning.
So that's true. That's true.
But yeah,
cunning
big
doesn't
heart.
Mean bad.
Huge
yeah,
heart.
Big heart. So I'm going to ask you this question because I know that you think that she is responsible for everything that happens in play. But what about Cordelia?
Cordelia is a total sweetie.
Yeah.
And I mean, who makes a horrible, horrible mistake.
Yeah, she does.
Now, I think that it's a tragic flaw in her, and it's a flaw that she's not aware of, and I think a lot of audience people aren't aware of it either. She's also quite arrogant.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I don't think that it's arrogant in the way that we normally think of somebody being arrogant because, like, they know they have, like, a huge ego. Like, that's not the way it presents itself.
But it's like Isabella in a way, right? Her
kind of.
her need to be right
yeah
outweighs
yeah.
the well-being of her father.
Yeah.
Just as Isabella's need to
yeah.
retain her chastity, which has a way different meaning then than it does now, of course.
She
but,
doesn't think
but,
about it though. It's not like, you know, that's something she thinks about.
No, it's not. She
She's
does
young
it
and she's, you
instinctively,
know.
And she does it from a good place.
She does.
But it's a horrible mistake. Now, Kent is also golden, golden, golden.
Absolutely. Heart. And actually, I want to mention the Duke of Albany too, because I think, you
yes.
know, he steps up.
Yes, the Duke of Albany, Kent, and Cordelia, and Edgar. And Edgar.
Absolutely, Edgar. Yes.
Are all very kind. And you know, I mean, that's interesting that, you know, the kingdom devolves at the end of the play to the Duke of Albany and Edgar,
yeah.
which is actually
it's accurate
kind of
and well deserved.
More positive in a way that if only the universe hadn't been shattered in the course of the play. But it's a way better, it's a like the future of Lear's Britain under Edgar and the Duke of Albany is like that future looks better to me than what's going to happen at the end of the Scottish play.
Oh my God, so much brighter. But
and
talking about the Scottish play, I wanted to mention Duncan.
Sure. Oh yes, we kind of only by inference.
Yes.
About what it, through what other people say about him. He seems like a perfectly nice guy when he's on stage.
But he also says those lovely things about Macbeth and Banquo, and he says lovely things to Lady Macbeth. And it feels like he's, you know, a good man and a good king.
Well, and people talk about, I mean, that's what I mean about people, the way people talk about him lets you know that. And the more impact Duncan can have in that play as being that,
yes.
A beloved and deservedly so king makes what the Macbeth's Angels as Ministers of Grace Defend Us do so much worse.
That's true. That is true.
But yes, Duncan, for sure. Is there anyone else in that play you would call kind-hearted?
I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, I guess Lady Macduff, but you don't really know, right?
She loves her kid. We don't,
yeah.
And it's sad, and she dies.
I don't really think there's anybody else in that play that is kind-hearted.
Well, you know, Banquo's not a bad guy.
No.
We
no.
think. Macduff seems to be a stand-up guy.
Yeah, but you know, but that's the thing about Macduff. Macduff has that Isabella thing going on. Like, he is a stand-up guy, but I've certainly seen him played when I thought, wow, he's kind of really, you know, like, impressed with himself and one of those people who is so bound and determined to do the right thing. I mean, and it's
well,
not
he becomes obsessed, obviously.
Yes, well,
and,
that's what
and
I guess.
It's his fault for, you know, leaving his wife and family so vulnerable.
Yeah.
So he definitely goes in the fuck up category for sure.
Oh, big time fuck up.
Did we put him in the fuck up category? When
I
we
can't
did
imagine
that?
We didn't.
If we didn't, we should have.
That's right.
And he's obviously he's a virtuous person, but kind-hearted, who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
And again, some of these people are not drawn. I mean, like, we don't really get to know Lady Macduff. Macduff himself is kind of a two-dimensional character.
Right. Right. The other person I was thinking of, and it, you know, not certainly not the best play, is Henry VIII. But I think Catherine in that play, She's kind of like,
yeah,
like perfect
almost
delineation. She's like of matronly dignity, right? She's sweet. You know, she appeals to the protection of the king. You know, she like bitches at the cardinals when they do bad stuff. She has beautiful conversations with her women. She shows like a noble and generous spirit, and she's very gentle. I think she's very kind-hearted.
And I guess Palamon and Arcite are sort of kind-hearted too.
Yeah.
But again, with those Fletcher Frankenstein
I know. It's
plays,
not,
I don't give a, I when I don't give
I
a
don't
fuck.
Give a fuck.
Though sure, they may be kind-hearted, but they don't make my list because fuck them. I just can't. I can't give my undivided attention to those plays.
So, what do you think about Lavinia?
I believe that Lavinia got what she deserved. No, I'm only kidding.
So mean.
She's sure again, but again, this is a perfect example.
We don't really know.
We don't know anything about. Well, here's what we know about Lavinia. People want to fuck her, and they're willing to murder her husband and mutilate her in order to do so. That's basically what we know about her. And she's virtuous.
And she's virtuous. Well,
hooray,
I mean, there's
hooray.
Plenty of people, again, that are virtuous, right? Like Isabella. Right. I mean, Marina and Pericles also manages somehow to keep her virginity when she's stolen.
Right. Well, there's way more to Marina than there is to
Lavinia,
because Shakespeare probably wrote the character of Marina when he was a mature playwright as opposed to Lavinia. I mean, you guys know my whole thing about Titus, so I won't be boring, but it's Lavinia's not as barely even a character.
Okay, so I said this earlier and you said let's hold on, so let's talk about Desdemona.
Well, yes, she's very, yes, she, you know what, she is kind-hearted, and she and I guess tender-hearted really is the
yes
way to
that's a
describe
good
her,
word,
because that's how, that's like, you know, as Othello says, she loved me because she pitied me,
right. And I mean, I think Cassio is a stupid but not a bad guy.
You know, Cassio is a perfectly decent guy, but here's who Cassio is. Cassio is an ROTC bro. That's who he is.
He is a bro. He's totally a bro.
He's a bro who
not
went
a
to
bad guy places. Though, but he's not a bro that, like, you know, rapes women that are in
no but just
with him, but
to make the list of who are the most kind-hearted people in Shakespeare, sure, he, but you know what, aha, he's not that kind-hearted because he's perfectly willing to fuck Bianca all month long.
That's true.
Her in the dirt.
That's true. That's true.
You know?
That's fair.
So that's not so nice.
No. And I mean, you know, one could say that Amelia is kind-hearted, but she also like agrees to give her husband the fucking handkerchief. So what's that about?
Well, it's complicated, but
it
certainly
is. It is complicated,
you know.
But.
But it doesn't, again, with Amelia's like Paulina in that she's her fierceness,
yes,
is more, much more of the her calling card than kindness.
Yes, I would agree.
You know, well, okay, you know who's got a good heart? Lysander.
Lysander has an excellent heart.
Again, not a rocket scientist.
But a good heart.
Especially if
except
you compare
for when he's
him.
Under the spell of the magic.
Right. Well, right. That doesn't count. Much as Demetrius being a nice guy when he's under the spell of the magic shouldn't count either, because Demetrius,
because he's a dick
in real life, is a total penis.
Yes.
Lysander is a sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, most of the mechanicals are dumb sweet guys.
Yes, they are dumb sweet guys. Yes.
I mean, there's none. I mean, Bottom is a braggart and a loudmouth and a, you know, and amusing in that way, but he's not.
But
a
he
bad
doesn't want to hurt anybody.
No. But again, not kind-heartedness is not his calling card. Lysander, I think it's probably the first thing about him.
Yes, I would agree with that. And you know, not all clowns are kind-hearted. I mean, look at Stefano and Trinculo; they're not good people.
No. Well, and some, I mean, like the fool in King Lear is just a crazy wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he has, I think there's kindness in the fool, and there's tremendous pity and tremendous, you know, mental illness
Yeah, but she's a mess.
But the fool is, yeah,
she is a hot mess.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
and
call
Festy. Festy fucks with Malvolio, so.
Yeah. Well, and he has, you know, he has beef with Malvolio, but he's not the kindest person. That's not where it begins with him.
Kindness. Who else?
Well, we're, you know, there's the history plays. I mean, Henry VI is kind.
Yeah.
Just insane and weak.
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody that stands out to me as really being like the best of eggs, you know?
Well, to be fair,
they're
largely at war and under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So here's an excellent question, especially because you know this play so well. Where on the good-hearted scale or kind-hearted scale would you place Brutus?
Again, that's complicated.
Right? I think so too, because Cassius obviously is the opposite of kind-hearted, but Brutus always is trying to do the right thing.
He is, but here's the thing.
But like, he's Cassius the leader of a gang of murderers.
Right. Like Cassius is willing to do the dirty work, you know, but not for a completely ignoble reason, right? Brutus wants to always do the right thing, but he's willing to have other people do the dirty work for him.
Well, I beg your pardon. I'm going to push back on that a little bit. If Brutus does not come on board with that scheme and say, okay, guys, you want my name attached to this operation, you have it. Now go kill Caesar. He is part of it. He sticks his knife in Caesar. So
he does.
He walks the walk.
Yes.
So
no, I agree with you.
So he's not manipulating anybody. I would say conversely, Brutus, even whether or not it's misguided is a huge question in that play to kill Caesar. But Brutus kills Caesar for all the right reasons, whether it's the right thing to do or not. Cassius, on the other hand, while having some reasons for it, there's much more personal.
Oh yeah, Cassius is way more of a bitch.
Yes, and much more of a murderer.
More of a murderer, and
I would say for Cassius, it's more murder for Brutus, vengeance. For assassination.
It is. It's vengeance. It's revenge.
Well, it's not revenge because Caesar never did anything to him personally. It's not revenge, but what it is a preventative measure.
Yeah.
An extreme one, to be sure.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it is complicated, but
it
I don't
is complicated.
Caesar prevents Brutus from making the list of the most kind-hearted people in Shakespeare. Florizel would never do that.
No, he wouldn't. And also, Brutus is not. He doesn't. He's not very kind to his wife. I mean, and not in a I'm going to rape you and throw you out the door kind of unkind, but you know, he's unkind by not bringing her into his fold, right? He's unkind by ignoring her. He's unkind by not talking to her when she fucking cuts her thigh.
Yeah. Well, again, he's trying to do the right thing.
He's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing.
He's trying to do the right thing. I'm not saying that he succeeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and he's manipulated big time by Cassius.
I mean, Mark Antony's not a good person.
No, Mark Antony is kind of a great person without being a good person.
Agreed.
There's greatness and size and majesty in Mark Antony, but he's not really a guy that you want to trust your back with.
Oh, God, no. I mean, you know, Portia's a good person.
Portia in The Merchant of Venice?
No, in Caesar.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Sure. But it's also a teeny tiny part. So
it is, but she is a good person. Portia in Merchant of Venice is not a good person.
She's a lying, conniving racist.
There's not a lot of good people, frankly.
I think The Merchant of Venice may be the play that has the biggest boiling stew of bad people, unless it's Troilus and Cressida, or maybe Measure.
Maybe. I mean, Cressida's not terrible. I mean, there's a couple of really terrible people in there, but Cressida's not terrible.
Cressida makes some pretty questionable choice. Let's
She
put it that way.
does, but again, I don't think it comes from a negative place. I think she's just making a stupid fucking choice.
Yeah, and that play is weird. But
It's problematic.
Merchant of Venice is just like a rich melange of terrible people.
Yeah, and I mean, like Two Gentlemen of Verona, there's some terrible people in that play.
Yeah,
Terrible
again,
people in that play.
I find it hard to judge that those early plays because like I can think of the people in The Merchant of Venice or Hamlet or The Winter's Tale as people. I
Yeah.
cannot think of the people in Two Gents or Titus as people.
Because they're so.
Because they suck. It's
They're
just bad
not
acting.
multi-dimensional, you know? Who else? Who else? Obviously, if any of our listeners, Brian Linden, were looking at you, we expect an email in a couple of days. If there is a character that you think we've forgotten, please absolutely tell
I
us, or if you
mean,
disagree with what we've said.
well, how about oh my God, why am I blocking his name? What is his fucking name? The guy in King John who refuses to kill the kid. What's his fucking name? Hugh?
Refuses to kill the kid.
So there's kind I mean he there like he takes the job.
Hubert, isn't it?
Is it
Hubert.
Hugh? Oh
Yes,
my
it's
God, this is
Hubert.
I'm so embarrassed that I cannot think of
It's
the name.
Hubert. It is. I'm
Anyway,
positive.
he's got like I mean he proves to have a kind heart.
That's right.
I mean he does in fact take the job to go kill that kid.
That's right. But honestly, you'd have to be pretty fucking awful to kill a kid that like the way they do in Macbeth.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. That shit happened and the king tells you go kill a kid, you
I
kind of
know.
do it.
I know.
Or you say no and walk away and take your chances.
Well, that's
And
like what Camillo did, right? He walks away.
right, exactly. And that's why Camillo probably belongs on the list and Hubert does not. Even though he does prove to be kind-hearted for as much as it means anything, since the kid falls off the battlements 2 seconds later in one of Shakespeare's more peculiar deaths.
Is an odd death.
It really is. Like, is he jumping? Is he trying to escape? I mean, anyway. Well, what are you going to do? 12-year-olds. I'm sure there's a ton of people that we're forgetting.
Anybody in Much
Oh, you know,
Ado?
okay. You know who's very, very kind-hearted?
Who?
The Countess of Rosillon.
Yeah. I'd say
She's
that's true.
very, very kind-hearted.
Yeah.
And that's it in that play.
Yeah. Anybody in Merry Wives or Much Ado?
Well, I mean, I guess the titular wives are not bad people.
Well, I mean, they decide to fuck with Falstaff.
Who fully deserves it?
Absolutely, but
But they do.
they do.
So kindness, I guess it's not their leading characteristic. I guess Fenton and Anne Page are nice enough, but we barely get to know them, so it's hard to know.
And frankly, not very interesting.
I mean, is there anyone else in Midsummer you would consider to be kind-hearted? I mean, Hermie is not kind-hearted.
She's fiery, but that doesn't necessarily mean she's not kind-hearted.
And
You know?
Helen is just so upset all the time. She's a wreck.
She's a wreck, and she fucking sends Demetrius into the woods after them. That's not cool.
No, it isn't. But I mean, I'll she's upset, so I'll cut her a little bit of a
Yeah,
break,
fuck
but
that. No. If that bitch was my best friend, I would cut a bitch.
Barone is nice.
Barone is nice.
Barone's
Barone's
nice.
nice. Rosaline is nice. I mean, again, I don't think we necessarily know enough about them.
I don't know. I find I try with that play. I just kind of find it tiresome and overly like it's filled with Shakespeare gobbledygook language. It's too much.
It's pretty gobbledygooky. Anybody in Antony and Cleopatra?
Well, kind. Jesus Christ, I don't know. Not Cleopatra, that's for
No,
sure.
fuck no. I mean, I was thinking her people, Charmian, maybe her lady in
Well,
waiting,
they're, you know,
Eros.
they're loyal and they have good qualities, but do we, what
We don't
kind
know. We don't
actions?
know. We don't
Right,
know if they're
exactly.
kind. Yeah.
I mean, Enobarbus is a good guy until he isn't.
But he isn't.
Right. And he's not, and kind isn't what I would call, I mean, no, I don't really think
No.
so. Same with Coriolanus.
Agreed.
I mean, this is what I mean. Like, there's a bunch of people who are perfectly fine people, but golden, kind-hearted, golden-hearted people are what the bar should be here.
Right. I mean, you can't say that Ophelia was kind-hearted because she was insane.
Well, and she's also just by the time we meet her, she's been put through the ringer, and
Yeah,
then she's put
totally.
through the ringer some more and
Yeah.
manipulated
Yeah.
like crazy by her father and Claudius.
But
So
we
it
have no idea who she might even be.
she seems like a kind-hearted person, but we don't really see her performing kind-hearted deeds.
Yeah,
Or
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess Luciana could be considered pretty kind-hearted from Comedy of Errors.
sure, a
She
little
tries
drippy.
to talk to her brother-in-law and explain that he's doing something wrong, you know,
Yeah.
all that kind of stuff. So,
Yeah, okay, I'll buy it.
yeah.
I don't care that much about her, but I'll buy it.
I mean, you know, I think, I mean,
Okay. Most kind-hearted person ever, Angelo in Measure for Measure.
He is our Supreme Court justice.
God,
Could
he
not
really is.
help but think about that when they were confirming that asshole.
Ugh. Yeah, I think I mean that's the I mean I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of people, and I would bet Brian Linden that you're going to point out a few people in the history plays that we've glossed over.
Oh, what about Aegean in Comedy of Errors? He's a good guy. Poor old guy
Oh,
is condemned to death for violating the travel ban.
yeah, all he wanted to do was get his family back
Yeah,
together.
how bad is that?
It's not,
Right.
but yeah,
I
I
mean, you
mean that.
know, I guess Amelia, it can be considered to be pretty decent. You know, she brings out the twins, reveals herself to be Aegean's long lost wife, you
Yeah,
know.
but these are but again, these aren't people, they're stick figures.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, they're I mean, again, Comedy of Errors is a vastly superior play to Two Gents, but
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you that I think Amelia is a kind person because I don't think she's a person.
Well, and also, you know, somebody, not me, might say, well, she's a nun. Of course she's a kind person. Well, that's fucking bullshit. So
Well, listen,
cannot take that.
we already, I mean, Isabella is practically a nun, and we've already established that.
Yes.
And sometimes, this actually deserves a mention. There are some people that seem to be kind-hearted that prove not to be, and there are some people that seem to be kind-hearted that are just such fuck-ups that it doesn't work. And a perfect example of both is the nurse in Romeo and Juliet, who
Yes.
seems like the nicest person in the fucking world, but oh boy, is she ever not.
She's
And
not, and she
there's
fucks
Friar
up.
Lawrence, who seems like a nice person and is a nice person,
But
but he
fucks up
fucks up so badly that it
so
takes his
badly.
kind-hearted cred away from him, for me
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, I think that's it. Oh.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got too. But again, for any of our listeners, if you want to email us and tell us about a character that you think we forgot or you disagree with, or you've also had horrible experiences with constant contact, please send us an email at thebardcastyoudick@gmail.com. And also, we would like to give a shout out to our newest patron, David in Brooklyn. David, thank you so much. We're looking forward to an email
Hooray!
from you.
Welcome, welcome,
Yay.
welcome to the Bardcast team.
That's right. You will be getting some swag some
You
point in
better
the
believe it.
future, Dave. So keep an eye out.
So the lesson of the day, children, is be like David from Brooklyn.
That's right. But David from Brooklyn, send us an email at thebardcastyoudick@gmail.com with your address so we can send
So
you
we can
something
send
fun.
you swag.
That's right.
And going to our website, you can also you can support us too. The best way is, like David from Brooklyn, by becoming a support an actual patron of the pod. There's also a one-time PayPal button. We are fully tax deductible. There are
right.
charities to support and all of that good stuff.
That's right. And hey, the strike is over.
That's right.
But actors over. Have not worked for a long time. Everybody's been amazing with solidarity. It's going to take a while to get it back up. So please, you know, if you have any extra money to throw towards the Entertainment Community Fund or, you know, the SAG-AFTRA Foundation, that would be awesome.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying the pod, especially our new listeners, of which I'm happy to say we have many.
Oh, my God.
Another yes. wonderful and totally free way to support us is to go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. That is super, super, super helpful.
And we also want to give a shout out to our friends on the Daily Beans, Allison Gill and Dana Goldberg. We love you guys, and we're so happy that you're excited about our swearing Shakespeare pod as well. So
news we love with swearing, you guys. Shakespeare with swearing. It's all swearing all the time.
That's right. And we love it. So yeah, fucking get into it. And remember.
It's Shakespeare, you dick.
That is dick the operative word, motherfuckers. Dick.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters Incorporated, copyright 2023, all rights reserved.